This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne at NPR West.
And I'm Steve Inskeep on a beach overlooking the Arabian Sea. We are at the edge of one of the largest cities in the world. Tourists are riding camels along the waterfront here in Karachi, Pakistan. And if I look down the way, I see cranes rising over luxury towers that are under construction. We've come to this city to mark a milestone. According to the United Nations, half the world's population now lives in urban areas. The urban share of the population has grown for decades, and it grows a little more every day. The way that we handle that growth is the story of our future. So in the coming months, Morning Edition will report on several changing cities. We call our series The Urban Frontier, and we begin this week in a city that's growing dramatically. Karachi's residents include the writer Fatima Bhutto, whose late aunt Benazir once ruled this country.
Karachi is the economic heart of Pakistan. It's the commercial heart of Pakistan. We're a port city. Your writers, your journalists, you know, your media strongholds are here. And unfortunately, this means, in some ways, that we're the seat of what takes place in Pakistan, good or bad.
That's been the case since Pakistan was founded in 1947. We've moved a little inland now to the tomb of Pakistan's founder. He lies here in this building beneath a high dome that in this light looks almost blue like the early evening sky. This country was carved out of British India. It was meant to be a haven for India's Muslims, and Muslims came here to Karachi. It was the first of the mass migrations that transformed this city, which we can see all around us from this hilltop. And that migration included a four-year-old boy named Arif Hassan.
I don't remember the journey. It was the last train that came from Delhi to Karachi. No train has come after that from Delhi to Karachi. Coming to Karachi, that I remember quite vividly. Landing at the railway station, being greeted by Pakistani flags and long live Pakistan slogans. I remember that. I remember going to a refugee camp near the railway station.
Arif Hassan grew up to be an architect, an urban planner, and he vividly recalls the way a city of green parks and old bazaars began to change. The newcomers from India got involved in protests, so the government moved them to suburbs, away from the center of power, outside town. The city began to sprawl, and as more migrant groups arrived, it spread further. This is one of the busiest intersections of Karachi. Trucks, cars rolling by. Just a minute ago, saw the traffic police struggling to get through traffic. Overhead is a bridge that collapsed. There is a huge gap in the bridge, and it's being prevented from collapsing further by piles of stone and brick. By last year, the United Nations was estimating Karachi's population around 12 million. Experts here contend it's closer to 15, even 18 million. And the city's political debates constantly return to questions about land. Who controls it? Who's allowed to live on it? Who might be killed for it? Arif Hassan says land has replaced gold. He says everything that happened for gold now happens for land. This week we're going to profile some of the people involved in Karachi's constant growth. They include a man who played his own small role when he arrived in Karachi a few years ago. The simple facts of his life define the way Karachi is changing.
And why don't you say your name and how old you are and where you're from, so we don't lose that.
My name is Nader.
Mohammed Nader is 31 years old, and he comes from a tiny town in northwest Pakistan. Through an interpreter, he says his life changed when he caught a plane for Karachi.
Well, actually, I came here the first time to attend the engagement ceremony of my friend. I came here first time on plane, and I was intending to be staying here only for a week. But then, now time has flown so much, I had to stay here. Then
love marriage.
Love and marriage, he says in English. He fell in love with a woman at the engagement party. He stayed in Karachi to get married, and he became one of the millions of rural Pakistanis who move here. This city has never provided many services to those residents. There aren't enough good schools or health care. Early this year, a blackout struck the city when authorities failed to pay the electric bill. But Mohammed Nader found a job with a charity that answers the call for help. The ED ambulance service operates the equivalent of a 911 line, since the government does not. In Karachi, it's 115.
Hello?
ED hired Mohammed Nader to drive an ambulance. When we say ambulance, don't think of an American ambulance crammed with paramedics and the latest equipment. He says he got a license to drive a white minibus with no paramedic and little more on board than a metal gurney.
An ambulance license.
Driving license.
Did you have to get training for that? He
says he got 3 days of training. Among other things, he learned to wait for the police before moving a murder victim off the street. That's an important skill in Karachi, which has a long history of political violence. The many victims of those killings almost included ambulance driver Mohammed Nader. His supervisor remembers that day in May of 2007.
When we woke up in the morning, people were aware that it's going to be a very bloody day. And opposition and ruling party were both having the processions on that day.
That's Faisal Edi, son of the founder of the ambulance service. He expected a bloody day because Karachi's political parties were planning dueling demonstrations. Those parties tend to divide the city along ethnic lines. Which party you support may depend on where you were born and which of Pakistan's many languages you speak. On that day in 2007, gun battles began. Word came in of gunshot victims on a bus, and Faisal Edi decided to climb into Mohammed Nader's ambulance.
Nader was coming, accompanying me, and we were stopped, surrounded by about 30 to 40 people, gunmen, belonging to a ruling party.
The ruling party gunmen focused in on the face of Mohammed Nader. His complexion marked him as a man from northern Pakistan.
He was sitting in the back of the ambulance. They took him, out of the ambulance for shooting purpose. They wanted to kill him because of his appearance. And I yelled at him, "Do not shoot. He's our man."
As he argued for the driver's life, Faisal Edi knew that one ambulance driver had already been killed that day. But after pointing a gun at Mohammed Nader's head and instructing him to say his prayers, the gunman let him go. This ambulance driver gets paid the equivalent of about $82 per month for doing this job. At the end of that day's work, he went home to his wife, the woman whose chance meeting inspired him to seek a better life in Karachi, Pakistan. We are reporting all week from Karachi, one of the world's largest cities, and tomorrow we'll meet the mayor who says he wants to bring order. Our series, The Urban Frontier, continues at npr.org, where we have photos of Karachi and an argument in favor of disorder